GBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 5 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's biggest business lobby group is challenging one of the state's most powerful environmental regulations. Brittany Merlot reports.
Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce says property owners shouldn't have to clean up pollution they didn't cause. WMC is suing the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources on behalf of Ralph and Mary Ruffalo. The Ruffalos want to retire and sell their bike and skateboard shop in Kenosha. But petroleum contamination on the property is holding things up. The Ruffalos could be on the hook for more than $100,000 to clean up the pollution, which was likely caused more than 20 years before the couple even bought the property. Wisconsin's spill laws requires polluters to clean up spills they cause. But in some cases, landowners who didn't make the mess end up paying. A DNR spokesperson says the agency doesn't comment on lawsuits in progress. I'm Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Wisconsin Republican Party convention is underway in La Crosse. State GOP Chairman Brian Schimming says Wisconsin will be one of the five most important states when Americans vote for president next year.
Georgia, Arizona, whoever else you want to name, but certainly Wisconsin's in the top five. It's why the Republican National Convention is coming here. It's why the first debate is here. And I look forward to that, and the polling numbers tell me I should.
Republican frontrunner Donald Trump leads President Biden in head-to-head polls nationwide. Schimming tells the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network that Republican challengers to Senator Tammy Baldwin could start to come forward in a month or two. A federal subsidy that kept Wisconsin's childcare industry afloat during the pandemic is closer to running out next year. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
Republicans on the state legislature's budget writing joint finance committee voted against extending funding for the childcare counts program early this morning. Brooke Skidmore owns a childcare center in New Glarus.
Childcare counts is the only thing that has really kept our doors open during this time. And it's frustrating because we have wait lists a mile long, but I have rooms that sit empty because I can't get the teachers, and I can't get the teachers because of the pay. And the only thing that has helped right now is the child care counts funding.
Instead, Republicans are putting forward a plan to increase funding to the Wisconsin Department of Children and Families, including $15 million in loans to child care providers. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
The board that runs American Family Field is losing a second member in a month's time. Karen Mockouts resigned this week, a day after she voted against the stadium district's new spending plan for ballpark improvements. Mark McCune resigned last month. That's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell. Civic Media News time is 5:03.
For Civic Media News, I'm Pete Schwaba. Here's what you need to know in Northeast Wisconsin. A construction worker was critically injured at Lambeau Field yesterday. The incident happened on the north end of the stadium where there is work being done on the new scoreboard. The man was extricated by firefighters and attended to by first responders before being taken to the hospital. And more reports of vandalism in northeastern Wisconsin today. We reported just this morning that the city of Kaukauna announced that it would close all public park restrooms due to vandals. Earlier today, more vandalism was reported by the University of Wisconsin Green Bay Campus Police. WFRV-TV News reports the incident happened May 30th. Campus police say a chapel near the campus and one of its security devices were vandalized by two people in the early morning hours. Anyone with relevant information should contact UWGB Police.
And in local sports, the Denmark Vikings won a thriller in 11 innings over Thomas More to win their third straight state title.
Pete Schwaba, Civic Media News.
It's the battle for the division lead. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Pittsburgh Pirates face off tonight in Milwaukee. The Pirates hanging on to a half-game lead in the National League Central Division over the Brewers after suffering a three-game sweep against the Cubs at Wrigley Field. Pittsburgh has lost six of their last 10 games. Pirates manager Derek Shelton.
You know, I mean, I think, you know, we've been through a couple tough stretches already this season, and that, like I've said before, this group's pretty resilient.
The Brewers will try to snap a six-game losing streak tonight when they send Julio Teheran to the mound. I asked Craig Counsell how he felt Teheran has performed since the club signed him last month.
He's pitched great. I mean, it's very, very solid starts. Really pitched well enough for us to win games.
Now, tonight's game can only be seen streaming on Apple TV. First pitch from AmFam Field, 7:10. In the NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks said to be still in talks, along with with the Miami Heat, trying to pick up Bradley Beal from the Wizards in free agency, the NBA suspending Memphis Grizzlies star Ja Morant for 25 games next season after posting those videos on Instagram, brandishing a gun in a Denver-area nightclub while intoxicated. Michael Jordan has agreed to sell his majority stake in the Charlotte Hornets to an investment group, price tag $3 billion. Racing this weekend at Road America, Indy 500 winner Joseph Newgarden competing in Sunday's Grand Prix.
I mean, how could you not love Road America? You know, it's probably one of the greatest racetracks in the world.
The green flag just after 1 o'clock. NFL, the Packers wrapped up their week of minicamp with a team outing paintball shooting. Tucker Kraft is the big tight end the team drafted, along with Luke Musgrave. I asked Kraft, what's been the response from the veteran tight ends, Josiah DeGuara or Tyler Davis?
Honestly, Josiah and Tyler, they're great, great mentors. Like, the NFL is always getting younger and cheaper, and those guys, they have jobs here, and they're helping us out, and I think I just says something about Packers organization, you know, that we're all in.
That's Packers rookie tight end Tucker Kraft. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling into the Friday happier 5 o'clock happy hour. Dom, I hope you've found a sufficient cup or glass to hold your three fingers of brown liquid.
The happy hour is upon us.
It's happy up in here. You can always be a part. 844-967-2789. We're in the Madison, the Solidarity Realty Studios, WMDX Mad Radio, because we're not welcomed in La Crosse this weekend. We were disinvited from the Republican Party convention. Is it the embarrassment over a lack of candidates to run against Tammy Baldwin? Or perhaps it's Donald Trump or, you know, the party's overall embrace of insurrectionist? This is one of my grievances. May I lead this out?
Oh, please do, Crudy.
An opinion piece. I'm going to use Dana Milbank here at the Washington Post. As Trump is arrested, Republicans honor the insurrectionist. Talking about House Republicans, but wait till tonight in La Crosse.
Right, dude.
Donald Trump could not have asked for a nicer arraignment day celebration. During the very same hour in which the former president surrendered to federal authorities in Miami, his Republican allies in the House were, in their most visible and official way yet, embracing as heroes and martyrs the people who sacked the Capitol on January 6, 2021, you know, in hopes of overturning Trump's election defeat. In the Capitol complex, Rep. Matt Gaetz with sidekick Marjorie Taylor Greene, old three toes, and four other far-right lawmakers held a, air quotes, hearing that honored the participants. I'm sorry, folks. I'm getting all choked up. Talk amongst yourselves.
Yes, it's the abuse that the participants, the peaceful protesters that are continually locked in jail.
Held a hearing that honored participants in the riot, family members of the January 6 rioters, and organizers of the attempted overthrow of the 2020 vote. Technically, Gaetz couldn't call such a hearing because he isn't a committee chairman. Didn't actually have the gavel power. But House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, who's trying to win back the support of extremists such as Gaetz, let it happen anyways.
What? So you just walk in and I have the gavel.
I have the conch.
I have the conch.
Gaetz did his all, Dom, to make the proceeding look official. There were congressional seals on his nameplate and on the big screen behind him. A meeting room in the Capitol Visitor Center was arranged to appear like a committee room.
They moved
with
the
lawmakers facing the witnesses. Gates advertised the, and again, air quotes here, field hearing is part of how the 118th Congress is investigating the weaponization of the federal government. So by doing so,
these guys moved around the tables in the break room and decided to have a pretend hearing.
Very officious, Dom. I mean, he also, according to Data Milbank, impersonated a chairman. You know, you are recognized. Thank you for your testimony. I'll recognize myself for questions. Her time has expired. And Dom, it reads here, the others played along. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. I yield back.
Did anyone swear in? Were they under, I mean.
That's a great question,
yes,
Dom.
Yes, yes.
Gates said testimony could be used for the official record of the House or for work in the Judiciary Committee upon which I serve or the Oversight Committee. Here's the most embarrassing part, I think. C-SPAN carried the proceedings live. And who were the witnesses, Dom? The wife of Ronald McAbee, who is awaiting trial for allegedly attacking a police officer and dragging him into the mob while wearing a black vest that said sheriff. And I thought sheriff had two R's, but...
Underwear model Crudy John Strand, he was also a witness. He's sentenced to 2 years and 8 months for being part of the mob that breached the Capitol on January 6th and pushed past police officers. John Strand, witness, sentenced to 2 years and 8 months.
Dominic activist Brandon Straka is sentenced to home detention and probation and fined for his January 6th activities.
The aunt of Matthew Perna. Perna committed suicide while awaiting sentencing for his role in breaching the Capitol.
And Ed Martin, an organizer of the Stop the Steal effort leading up to the January 6th.
And Crudy, this one. Oh, this one's kind of a big deal.
This one's sort of a bite in the ass.
This one jumps out at me. Jeffrey Clark, the Trump Justice Department official who tried to get states to toss out the election results. Who Trump, what, was trying to instill as the attorney general.
That guy... How he is not under criminal indictment today, Jeffrey Clark, I mean, I'm not quite sure.
But he was given testimony in the break room at the Capitol today.
The lawmakers, Dom, hailed them all. To all of you, my condolences, said Rep. Paul Gosar, Republican from Arizona, who added tenderly that, you know how I feel about Ashley Babbitt, the woman police shot as she breached the last line of defense protecting lawmakers in the House chamber, perhaps including Paul Gosar, if he was doing his job that day.
I saw pictures of Paul Gosar that day. He looked scared out of his mind.
Dominic, this is heartbreaking, added Rep. Ralph Norman, Republican from South Carolina, the way you've all been treated, especially you insurrectionist convicts. Marjorie Taylor Three-Toe Green added, my deepest sympathy for each of you and all the pain and suffering that you've all had to go through because of this government.
What?
She told them they were the victims of sick, evil people. Who, the Department of Justice? Are they the sick, evil ones? The one holding these criminals accountable?
Apparently.
And that she and other lawmakers had a constitutional duty to object to Joe Biden's fraudulent Electoral College votes because... we all believed that the election had been stolen. Stolen. Now it all stems from the false pretense of the stolen rigged election, be it the GOP making their resolutions in La Crosse right now, right?
Literally still talking about this.
The stolen election. Yes. Now they're going to keep you from stealing it by, you know, perhaps blocking your ability to vote. You're not stealing the next election by voting. More you Democrats. Voting in us Republicans, we hate when that happens.
Crudy, Gates opened the hearing with a video suggesting FBI culpability in the January 6th attack. Way to go! You know, bring in the video. He claimed he became aware of evidence that the Justice Department had evidence of fraud in the election, but Trump Attorney General Bill Barr was suppressing the evidence.
So Bill Barr, the same guy that suppressed the evidence of the Mueller report, totally misconstrued it to the American people for the benefit of Donald Trump, did the investigation, declared this a safe and fair election, but he's suppressing the evidence because, what, he's not loyal enough to the old man?
Krudy Gozar blamed the attack on people undercover, whether it be Antifa, FBI, whatever. Norman suggested that the FBI was framing people who weren't involved in the attack. Rep. Troy Nels, a Republican from Texas, offered his view that people in charge in the Capitol, Democrats presumably, hid the intelligence showing that an attack was coming.
It's so like, that, so what? If does that absolve the Japanese of bombing Pearl Harbor, that someone might have had a heads up and they didn't act properly? Does that let the Japanese off the hook? Should they all be sent home?
Nels added, I believe Ashley Babbitt was murdered that day, and he said he hopes Trump will return to power and send the officer who shot her before a grand jury. You know, protecting people like Gozar, who was scared out of his mind. From the witness table, again, in the, what, break room, the additional room, they made a little pretend committee hearing. From the witness table came howls of wrongful conviction and fascism. From the dais came a cry of tyranny. From both came attacks on judges, juries, prosecutors. Audience members were wearing T-shirts saying rioters had been murdered by Capitol Police. In the hallway, keeping the peace were two Capitol Police officers guarding the people accusing them of murder. Straka, who on January 6th yelled, go, 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 to the mob as they tried to breach the Capitol, and take it, when rioters grabbed a shield from a police officer, testified again, quote, unquote, to Gates's panel that, quote, we, the defendants of January 6th, need to be able to have some sort of voice.
You had a voice at sentencing.
you
were convicted.
And now they have that voice, the feckless House Republican leaders who let this abomination occur. Wow.
There's more.
But wait, there's more. I think we got the gist.
We've got the gist. Let's take a caller or two at 844-967-2789. I guess you're telling me time to move on.
I mean, come on. I mean, it's like Cartman playing, you know, tea with his little dolls.
Respect my thoughts.
What is this? Were people sworn in? Is there documentation? What do we have of this? Why even go through this? Is that what? Literally, what?
One more what? I was waiting for it. Mark from the sack. What he got for us?
What? Hey, Mark.
Well, can any of this be used as evidence if they violated the terms of their sentencing? I mean, this is all part of the public record.
And, by associating with known insurrectionists, by showing up to the very committee hearing?
Well, they've already been convicted, presumably, Mark.
But I'm saying, it was part of their sentence. They were supposed to keep their mouths shut about what the crimes they committed after, when they were sentenced. They weren't supposed to be bragging about, what they did when they're convicted, they've been convicted. And for Paul Gosar, I'd ask him, did you wet your pants that day when you were so scared back there? I'd ask him, did you have to change your underwear when you got out of the room there? It is just disgusting that these guys are doing this. I mean, these insurrectionists, Gosar, gets Taylor Greene they need to go after those guys now.
They get to play committee in the meantime, Mark.
You know, we got a message from Jeff in the audience. I thought the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. Your Friday grievances could be next. 844-96-PARTY.
Did you know the Country Music Hall of Fame group, the Oak Ridge Boys, is celebrating 50 years of great music? The boys are on tour and will be playing the Menominee Nation Arena in Oshkosh Friday, June 16th. Their four-part harmony upbeat songs are legendary. But do you know which of their many hit singles topped the country charts and became a top 5 on the pop charts? Is it Bobby Sue, Elvira, or their holiday song?
song, Thank God for Kids. The answer coming up.
I'm the new guy. I joined in October of 73. I was 25 years old, and here it is 50 years later. I'm still singing with the Oak Ridge Boys, and I'm 75 years old.
That's Joe Bonzel, the tenor of the group. I talked with him about the Oshkosh Show and their fans.
They can expect to hear a fast-paced show, lots of music, lots of singing. You can bring grandma, bring the kids, and they're not going to hear nothing they shouldn't hear.
And one thing you can expect to hear, the song Elvira. It is the Oak Ridge Boys' single hit to top both the country and pop charts. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly clear skies and quiet tonight with a low of 53. Southeast winds around 5 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow, highs level off around 78. Lows level off around 56. Tomorrow night, mainly clear skies. Upper 70s. Sunday, turning warmer on Monday with highs in the low 80s. Another look at the short range. Lows level off around 53 tonight. Highs reach 78 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 71.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Town Call. On WGBW.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy Friday, airing the grievances. You can join 844-967-2789.
You got any more grievances, Dom, or are we calling her a week?
Man, there's a whole lot to get to. I know we have some opinion pieces out there we didn't get to. But also Hugh Hewitt, the Conservatives, man.
Hugh Hewitt, the Conservatives, man.
They are out there. They are rallying around this president. What do we? A couple articles yesterday, right? Right. Well, Lowry from the National Review. He was out there saying, "Oh, pardon Trump." Some other conservative writer, opinion maker. Yes, pardons. These are great ideas. Let's consider these things. And I think you were probably in that camp as well. So
only because I want to prune the tree to get to the real criminality and the real convictions.
But there's another one today, and I think, you know, to keep, you know, the fair and balancedness of the Devil's Advocates, we'll throw this one out there. Hugh Hewitt. And I absolutely disagree, but let's hear what the Republicans are crying about today. At the Washington Post. Merrick Garland needs to explain the timing of the Trump indictment. Demands Hugh Hewitt. And I gotta love how he starts here.
Who cares what Hugh Hewitt demands?
Right. Here. Let's just start. From O.J. Simpson's arrest on June 17th to 1994. I mean, as soon as you start out a conversation about O.J. Simpson, don't you kind of lose the conversation? From O.J.'s arrest on 94 on charges of murder to his acquittal on October 3rd of 95 in what was billed as a trial of the century, nearly 16 months elapsed. How many months will pass from Donald Trump's arraignment on June 13th before a verdict in what might well be the trial of this century, the unprecedented...
You are comparing your dude to OJ to say he won't get speedy justice just like OJ didn't? Like OJ was... Like people had suspicions about OJ for that whole period of time until he was so vindicated by the jury. I'm sorry to interrupt, please. Who's saying this again?
Hugh Hewitt.
Oh, he's a clever fellow.
Yes, yes. How many months will pass from Donald Trump's arraignment on June 13th before a verdict in what might be the trial of this century, the unprecedented federal criminal prosecution of a former president? 16 months would mean the nation learning Trump's fate as a matter of weeks before Election Day, with the accused very possibly on the 2024 presidential ballot. The idea that the Justice Department is flirting with that possibility is astonishing to Hugh Hewitt. Prosecutors had other options to charge Trump sooner or delay prosecution until later, but instead have chosen to take this route 2 months before the Republican presidential debates begin. I mean, when is a good time to arraign the former president?
Sooner would have been okay with me.
Of course, the courtroom timetable is still uncertain. I consulted several experienced defense attorneys who have described scenarios ranging from this is a one-week trial to the complexity surrounding classified documents on which the government built this case are vast and will force delaying the trial until 2025. A lot of people got a lot of opinions, Crudy. Former federal prosecutor Andrew McCarthy, who has plenty of experience dealing with classified documents and a criminal trial, is in the 2025 camp. In my recent radio interview with him, McCarthy dealt with some of the initial thorny issues the case raises, including Trump's legal team's need for security clearances. I believe the judge has now ordered that. That was yesterday.
Yes. Eileen Cannon suggested that Trump's current attorneys, and keyword current,
yeah, right,
Todd Blanche and Chris Keyes, begin the process of obtaining clearances. Here's my concern. That process could take months.
I mean, what makes a person not qualified to receive?
They may not be qualified.
You know, I mean,
and quite
but
frankly,
Jared and Ivanka got it, so it can't be that hard.
No, they didn't actually.
Oh, they didn't.
They were granted the jobs despite lack of, or I forget
the president
if they
ordered
overruled
them. Yeah. Yes.
My understanding, Dom, if it takes months, and there's already questions about the timeline, that's the whole contention of Hugh Hewitt here, right? Is this going to jam us right in the middle of the elective cycle? Well, you know what Trump's going to do. Of course, as soon as his first round of attorneys get granted their security clearance, see you later,
fires attorneys.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to start all over again, and the new counsel will have to be extended time to get their security clearances. And Trump will use this aspect and his supportive judge, Eileen Cannon, to push this back beyond the election, because he feels like if he wins, he's got to get out of jail free card.
I'll jump down here a little
bit. And he probably does.
He cannot pardon himself. No, you cannot pardon yourself. And yes, a president
who says
can
you
be.
Can't.
I'm saying you can't. The Office of Legal Counsel,
what army?
The Office of Legal Counsel, the DOJ, has a 1970s whatever piece of paper where someone wrote on a memo, hey, we shouldn't criminally prosecute the sitting president. That's never been challenged in court ever. Now, if this were to come to fruition, is a perfect time
to challenge that.
The Constitution
grants unlimited pardonability to the president of the United States. Doesn't say he can't pardon himself. Doesn't say he can't pardon anyone for any reason. And hell, legally, my understanding, he could even solicit $2 million for him. Look it up. It's in the Constitution, fella.
Lots of things aren't in the Constitution.
But pardons are enumerated as a presidential power without limit in the Constitution. If he is the president, he can pardon himself.
That is a wrong premise. There's no way the framers of this Constitution would ever have imagined that a president who could pardon himself, there would be king. I'm not leaving the office. I'm pardoning myself. I'm murdering my opponents. I'm pardoning myself.
That's what the impeachment process was supposed to be for, and he's not currently in the office. But if he won election, theoretically, he could be impeached.
There is no reading
of
the
Constitution.
There is no semblance of the Constitution that will allow for a president to pardon themselves for any reason whatsoever because they become a king. The whole point of the Constitution was to get away from that.
The check and balance is the impeachment process, and we know how that will play out because Republicans won't impeach.
He could murder Congress and pardon himself, and according to that, it wouldn't matter, Crudy. No, that is not a plausible solution.
You don't like it, doesn't make it not true. You asked me when the last time you were wrong, right now.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 AM, the Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show
on WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. President Biden today marking the anniversary of the first gun safety law signed in 30 years, telling a Connecticut Safers community gathering that Congress must do more to prevent mass shootings.
We all want to drop them off at the house of worship, a mall, a movie, the school door, without worrying
That's the last time we're ever going to see them.
The current laws did not prevent the worst anti-Semitic mass killing that murdered 11 people and injured 7 others 5 years ago in Pittsburgh's Tree of Life Synagogue. Today, a jury convicted the killer, Robert Bowers. A verdict on the Minneapolis Police Department from the Justice Department 3 years after George Floyd's death.
A probe found that the Minneapolis Police Department for years engaged in a pattern of discriminatory practices against Black and Native American people, finding officers used unnecessary excessive force and violated the rights of protesters. Brian Clark, ABC News.
The government working with the city on reforms. This is ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know in Northeast Wisconsin.
A Green Bay police officer who faces criminal charges was in court this morning. Officer Matthew Knutson was charged last month for misconduct and negligent operation of a vehicle. According to WBAY News, Knutson used his car to knock down a man he was chasing in November of 2021. Knutson's attorney filed a motion to dismiss the charges. A decision on the motion is expected in early July. And more reports of vandalism in northeastern Wisconsin today. We reported just this morning that the city of Kaukauna announced that it would close all public park restrooms due to vandals. Earlier today, more vandalism was reported by the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay campus police. WFRV-TV News reports the incident happened May 30th. Campus police say a chapel near the campus and one of its security devices were vandalized by 2 people in the early morning hours. Anyone with relevant information should contact UWGB police. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Walks, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Walks, GTWLawyers.com.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey! 60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday Happier Happy Hour rolling through it. I got my good little buddy Dominic here with me in the Solidarity Realty Studios, WMDX, Mad Radio, Madison. And many are listening live all across the state of Wisconsin on a Civic Media radio station, but others are listing on the Civic Media app. And you can join us, one and all. We take your opinions. Be righter than Dom, because he's often wrong. 844-967-2789. Mike from Benton Harbor. Welcome, Mike. What do you got for us?
Hi, Mike.
Hey, good to hear you guys here. He's got a great signal on 540.
Are you listening in Benton Harbor on the radio? On the 540 AM?
I'm a radio engineer. I have beverage antennas. You got to look those up. They're 102 years old. 102 years old, and I just stretch it out about 100 feet in your direction, and I can hear you guys all the time until you shut it off. So this thing about what's going to happen when I sort of misheard some of it or maybe didn't hear part of it. But if he is president, he could just tell the Justice Department to end the case.
Yeah, effectively.
Yeah, so
he could reassign those. My understanding, though, that would not end the investigation. If there was an open investigation and the investigatory parties at the DOJ were replaced, because, of course, this has been considered by Trump before, that the investigation would get picked up by the next round, right? It wouldn't end. It would just be the baton would be picked up by others.
We're talking about Donald Trump. If he became president, he would just fire anybody who was doing anything that he didn't like.
I mean, suspect you're right in that regard, Mike. He would, by any means necessary. I mean, he fired his FBI director to take the pressure off the Russia thing and told the two Sergis he was going to do it.
It's fascinating that these people, I just don't know what's going to happen. And you guys being here on media is so important because I think a very large core of the problem is that this media that they indulge in, it's porn. It's outrage porn is what I call it. It's a system where they engage your brain. They get onto that handle of the brain that we used 3 million years ago when we needed to decide somebody was behaving badly. We don't need that anymore. You know, we don't need to be outraged at other Americans. We have a legal system. So meanwhile, there are probably 1,000 radio stations broadcasting hate 24/7. And it's something that is just so anathema to those of us who learned about what the idea of broadcasting is, you know, that it's the idea of having a convenient, reliable, necessary thing that helps society and not something that preaches dark dreams to tear the country apart. I don't think you will see any other OECD country permitting the kind of broadcasting that we have here in the United States. We'll just not allow it. It's so anathema to social cohesion. It's such a poison. That
social cohesion? That sounds pretty socialist, Mike.
Mike, you know, the radio stations here in the state of Wisconsin, specifically the right-wing talk radio station that dominates ratings in the Milwaukee market, but did not after Joe Biden won the state of Wisconsin, after Fox News, God darn them, declared Arizona for Joe Biden, their ratings went in the tank, Mike. They went down to like a 5 share. But when they picked up the January 6th and the Stop the Steal, and ever since they have propagated the Stop the Steal, that it was rigged, Donald Trump had it stolen for him, they have doubled their audience. And that is basically lying for fun and profit and ratings, of course.
You could not believe the conversations that I do hear on places like amateur radio. And I can back up everything that we hear coming from the FBI. The conversations are basically, when will we eventually destroy the federal government? I mean, that's bottom line is where they are about this. They hate the federal government. It started really with Ronald Reagan coming in and saying the government is the problem. You just carry that out to its fruition. Pretty soon you're all about destroying it with weapons of war, no less.
Well, Ted Kaczynski, it happens. Timothy McVeigh, it happens.
Oh, you can destroy it from the inside. And great call, Mike. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for listening. You know, Donald Trump, we saw what he did last time he got in, and he won't get in again. But if he did get in again, he would do so much more. I mean,
he would pardon himself.
He would have nothing to lose. I mean, we could have that conversation. I don't think we'd need to repeat ourselves.
Well, I have
that
some
regard.
Information on the pardon.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd like to advance the conversation briefly, if you'd indulge me.
Yes, sir.
And callers, if you want to weigh in, 844-967-2789. I know he would certainly try. This has not been decided in the courts, but here's what the Constitution says. Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution says, the president, and here's the direct quote, the Constitution, my source, the president shall have the power to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States, except in the cases of impeachment. To my understanding, that is the only limitation. Effectively, the remedy for a lawless president is impeachment. We tried it twice against Trump. Obviously, Republicans of no conscience did not convict in the U.S. Senate. But that would be the mechanism. Now, a little bit more. I got it highlighted. Bear with me. Law professor here, Brian Cult, gives his opinion. It's not a uniformed opinion. It's one intelligent man. He's at Michigan State University. Cult said, while the pardon power is, I consider it, the most regal, monarchical of the presidential powers, it's pretty simple. He just issues the pardon. He says that he is pardoning, granting the pardon to someone. He doesn't need to rely on congressional authority. There's really no judicial review. If it's a valid pardon, it happens right away. He just declares it.
Well, wait a minute. Why, if something is absolute, why would it have to be valid?
Well, the limits are can only apply to federal offenses. It can't affect impeachment proceedings. Then implicit in the definition of a pardon is that it can only apply to things that have already been done. You can't pardon someone in advance. But other than that, it's just a very expansive power, and he states it, and it happens. Donald Trump would say, I, Donald Trump, pardon myself of the alleged federal crimes, all 37 counts of the indictment.
And I get that. And I disagree, and like I just walk down the list with me.
It would stop the presses. Certainly, it may whatever, play out
stop
over the
presses.
Next.
I'm talking about a guy like Donald Trump. I'm talking about a true-on dictator. I'm talking about a fascist like Stalin. Let's go there, because that's what we're getting to. If the definitions, as we understand impeachment as described in the Constitution, are what we are assuming is right now, impeachments for as Donald Trump went through. If that's actually accurate and the case, then Donald Trump could murder anybody in Congress prior to that impeachment vote and pardon himself for it. Yes?
Theoretically.
Okay, so where does that end? What is the limiting cause of that? Because if what you say is true and that is accepted as law, as constitution,
people are just going to permit this man to go out and murder. They're not going to.
It's not permit. What do you mean? He's going to have his Proud Boys go out and, with, you know, a bolt to the back of the head. He'll pardon the Proud Boys. He'll pardon whatever. I mean, whatever. What are you talking about, man? This is what I'm saying.
That's not a limited action. He could theoretically.
So you could murder everybody as president, pardon everybody, and there would be no consequence ever until the man eventually
died.
It's
almost like the guy could inspire an insurrection, allow people to charge the U.S. Capitol, try to overturn the outcome of an election in a seditious, conspiratorial sort of way, and he could pardon them of all their offenses, and they would immediately be pardoned. That is the expansive powers.
But that does not apply to himself. Pardon. I'm not suggesting that he can't.
You're the only legal scholar I hear making that assumption.
I think there's lots of people who don't think the president can pardon himself.
Then
because
why the
then,
limitation
because the president,
of the
then,
impeachment?
This is what I'm telling you. That's because it hasn't been challenged. It's because that's how you interpret it. Doesn't make it so. Because the logic would dictate, Crudy. We create
this logic.
The Constitution.
Then why is there a specific limiter in the language of Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution that says you can pardon any federal crimes effectively, except those of impeachment? Because the remedy against a lawless president is impeachment.
And when the president, who was lawless with his lawless crowd, overtakes and threatens and shoots and murders and bombs their way to continual power, you're telling me that the position that would stand up in the Constitution would be that, yep, that's
well,
how it is. Because now we've come back to King George. And that's why, Crudy, that is absolutely anathema to the whole point of the Constitution. A president who can pardon himself is a king. That's
well,
not a president.
Convict his ass then. Well, here's the deal, though, Dom. If you elect a Republican president, regardless of how many federal convictions Donald Trump goes down for, it could be murdering a dude on Fifth Avenue. He will be pardoned by the next Republican president, whether it's Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, that's never going to happen, but maybe DeSantis, or whoever's in the next elective cycle.
Well, Crudy, it's not just the next elective cycle. We heard Lowry yesterday, Mark Thiessen yesterday, and Hugh Hewitt, which we were quoting a little bit. Let me just jump down a little bit. Here's what Hugh has to say. Whether righteous or not, the decision to prosecute Trump has opened a Pandora's box. It is in Biden's power to close it. How would he close it, Crudy? By pardoning his Donald predecessor. Trump wouldn't have to admit he did anything wrong, but pardoning him also does not mean absolving Trump of responsibility. Of course it does. So, I'm sorry, that was Thiessen. I was quoting Thiessen. My bad.
Op-ed piece at the Washington Post yesterday.
Thiessen,
the guy that Ghost wrote Unintimidated, the Scott Walker fictional biopic.
Let me conclude on actual the piece by Hugh Hewitt at the Washington Post today.
Hugh.
The country needs to hear from Garland. Why the Justice Department dawdled so long in bringing up expansive charges just as the 2024 election season gets underway is deeply puzzling to Hugh Hewitt. I've always dismissed conspiracy theories and pushed back on deep state paranoia while defending the great majority of professionals working at the FBI and elsewhere in the Justice Department. But this sequence of events has painted both the FBI and DOJ a deep blue in the eyes of red America. It's going to be very difficult to undo.
The Law and Order Party suddenly thinks the FBI is all in the tank against Donald Trump.
You know, all those
call that place Trumplandia.
Well, it doesn't have to make sense. They're just going to keep saying it over and over again. And then CJs will pick it up and right-wing talk radio will pick it up and they'll say it just like all the elections stolen. Trump seeded that months and months and months before. Trump knew he was in the tank. Trump knew he was in trouble when the pandemic hit, man. He was throwing those things out way early in the year. So this has
rigged.
Been going up. Rigged.
Rig it against
me. If we do mail-in ballots, the Republicans are never going to win another election. Yeah, we see this. What is the action by the Wisconsin State Republican Party today? Suggesting at their GOP state convention, a resolution. College kids, it's too easy for you to vote. You have to vote absentee from your permanent residence somewhere. I mean, they know that easy access is bad for Republicans. That's why they attack the machinations of elections. That's why they try to limit and make it harder for people to vote. And that's why, in some regard, of their own making, they make a government that is ineffective. They brag about it. They brag about how bad government is.
Because they break it.
And then they're the ones doing it. Yes.
844-967-2789. Rico from Rock County, buddy. Turn your phone. He doesn't even know we're on yet. He's on the tape delay. Rico, turn down your phone, your radio, and we'll try you on the other side. More Devil's Advocates. Oh, we got a little bit of time left. I thought we're down to like 3-2-1.
Oh, we got a little time. We want to give Rico and our other callers some time. It will be the last segment. 844-967-2789. Give us a call. It's a Friday. What do you think? Trump's never going to have the position to pardon himself again. And now we have all these Republicans saying, oh, you know, Garland needs to give us. You know why Garland and by Jack Smith brought the charges they did? Because they were ready to bring the charges. Hugh Hewitt, there's your answer.
Summer has finally arrived in Wisconsin, and it's time to make your brand shine. Become a weather sponsor in the month of June and take advantage of a very special offer. Buy one weather sponsorship for just $75 and get a second sponsorship free. Yup, BOGO. That's 20 ads per day for 2 days every hour. This weather sponsorship buy one, get one offer absolutely ends on June 30th. Call now, 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. It's BOGO. 608-949-8989.
June is Dairy Month. AgriStaff USA and Keel says thank you to all Wisconsin dairy farmers. They want to invite you to the Kewaunee County Breakfast on the Farm, Sunday, June 18th from 8 a.m. till noon at Salentine Homestead Dairy, E1669 County Road A in Luxembourg. Enjoy a dairy good breakfast, farm tours, and plenty of activities for the family. This invite was from AgriStaff USA and Keel, a proud sponsor of the Kewaunee County Breakfast on the Farm. Hope to see you there.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows around 53 tonight under mainly clear skies. Southerly winds around 5 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow, 78. Lows level off around 56. Tomorrow night, mainly clear skies. Upper 70s. Sunday, turning warmer on Monday with highs in the low 80s. Another look at the short range. Lows level off around 53 tonight. We should top out around 78 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 71.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct
on WGBW.
Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 844-967-2789.
I don't know why. That's an odd little song, but I always loved it.
Who is it? Like
Presidents of the United States or something. Anyways, played that one a lot in college. Peaches. They're in a can. They were put there by a man.
Yes, digging deep on those, man.
844-967-2789. Going to the country. Going to eat a lot of peaches. Bill from Madison. Bill, how you doing, fellow?
Hey, Bill.
What do you got for us?
Great. It is a catchy little tune. I'll give you that. I think your argument of Mr. DT becoming almighty ruler and just burning himself for committing any crime he wants, I think the savior to that is what the Republicans hold near and dear, which is state rights. I believe he can only pardon federal offenses.
Yes,
you're absolutely right, Bill.
So he could be charged under the state laws.
Or let's say Fulton County in Georgia, he could be prosecuted, convicted, and even the Republican governor of the state of Georgia would have no power to pardon him.
Perhaps. So it all goes back to what the Republicans hold near and dear. You know, limiting the federal government and everything should be handled at the state right.
Yes.
And poof. There you go.
And poof, there you go indeed, Bill.
And boom goes the dynamite. Thank you for the call, Bill. 844-967-2789. Great points. I mean, no doubt it would have to be a bloodbath for that kind of scenario to work out. But, I mean, I don't put it past. I mean it, man. I mean, we see what he did. We see what he's capable of. And, you know, when he's getting backed into a corner, and we see how, you know, the Trumpites are acting by, you know, moving the conference room tables around and playing committee. I mean, this is all part of the same thing. I mean, hell, even here in the state of Wisconsin today, the state GOP is putting forth resolutions, you know, lamenting the voting and election systems here. I mean, come on. We all had the opportunity. And I'd have to point out all you Republicans that won on your election during that election on your ballot, those were all fine, but all the other
those
ones,
are all valid.
I mean, come on, none of it stands up. And when you actually had the opportunity to get in front of a court, to get in front of a judge to present your evidence and turn it over, oh my God, 62 out of 63, I think you lost, and the other one you lost had nothing to do with the actual election itself. Had about timing of dropping off ballots or something like that. So, yeah, you had the opportunity. You had your day in court. Here in the state of Wisconsin, when Hagedorn voted with the liberal bloc of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, I mean, if you read his comments on this, it's like, you know, what the Republicans wanted as a resolution to their concern was outrageous. It was an historic off the wall ask.
Yeah, but the lady that dined down the bar for me the other night, I call her Pat Rogensack.
Yeah.
She was down for it.
She was down
for the crazy. She gave me a good firm shove on the back. Like, you stay there. Oh, I know who you are.
Everybody likewise, knows who you are.
Patience.
Yeah, but you know, you vote for democracy, unlike Pat. 844-967-2789. Rico, we'll try it again. Welcome, man. What do you got for us?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, man.
Rookie Rico acts like he's never been on a talk radio show before.
Oh, I know.
Please turn your radio down. Come on, man.
Oh, man. Come on, man. Hey, I just wanted to give you guys, I know Maggie got to break the indictments, but I want to give you guys a little nugget here. A little nugget.
All right. Break it for us, Rico.
Okay, you guys will be the first. When I get done, you'll know what I'm talking about. You'll be the first on all of media. Okay, this judge down in Florida, her name is A-I-L-E-E-N.
Eileen.
That's the spelling of her name.
Aileen? Aileen? Yeah, Aileen? Yes.
Aileen Cannon.
Aileen.
Aileen.
The emphasis needs to be on the A, and everybody keeps saying Aileen. Always. It's Aileen.
Come on, Aileen.
You're the first to get it right.
Is this the point of the story?
Aileen.
Rico, this is what you're breaking? No. The pronunciation of the Trump-appointed judge who gets to rule over Trump?
No, I really had a bone to pick with you, Curdy. You told me to learn this DeSantis voice, and I spend 30 minutes of my life learning this DeSantis voice. You tell me it's got a 90-day shelf life, and you know what? I've been going to the shelves lately, and they're pretty bare, okay? But today, of all days, I found the bottle of Trump water. Hey, DeSantis, this guy, analogy here, you know, he's on the midway at the fairgrounds, and he's in front of that game where you just pick the duck up and look at the number underneath. I mean, he could do no wrong to win this game against Trump. And he just stands there like a bumbling, but he has a nerve. He has the nerve and the audacity to call Gavin Newsom, you know, pussyfooting around with Biden.
Yeah, man, they're selling T-shirts now, Rico. I mean, they're selling T-shirts. You know, we do have a little bit. Thanks for the call.
They do,
man.
Have a Cocaine Mitch T-shirt too, yeah, as well.
Yes.
You know, the Republicans pick odd topics for T-shirts, but please continue.
We got 2 minutes left. Let's get some of that sound out there real quick. I want to, you know, get these woke lefty socialist communist Marxist drag queen, you know, groomers on the record. These Republicans. Let's hear what they have to say, if you would please. Let's start with John Thune, Senator, Republican, cut one.
We've lost 3 elections in a row now. He's been the issue in every one of those elections. And I don't think, you know, getting into this tit for tat where it's a race to the bottom to see who can, you know, retaliate against whom from one administration to the next is the way to lead the country forward.
Former Speaker Paul Ryan, cut two.
This one's national security. This one's different. I used to have these same documents myself as Speaker of the House. So I think this goes beyond just some petty thing. Now, my guess is Trump will play this politically pretty well and make this weaponization argument and make this about Joe Biden's Justice Department. And that's going to have some political saliency. So I don't think Marco's wrong in saying that there's some political sting here. Mm-hmm. But I can't help but think the weight and the baggage of all of this. And this one's national security. This one, I think we want a nominee who's not weighed down with so much baggage in order to win this election.
All right,
let's go to cut number eight,
Evan. Squeeze in cut eight, please. Chris Christie.
I don't think that most Republicans support the conduct that's detailed in that indictment. It's reckless, it's harmful to American national security, and it doesn't show the kind of judgment that you need to be an effective president during difficult times.
Yeah, those are just a few. John Bolton, Asa Hutchinson, Chris Sununu, Bill Kristol also. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.